study session having been completed, we will start our city council meeting. We'll start, as always, with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crawford, could you please call the roll?
Certainly, we have Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurd.
Here.
Eric Lewis.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Eric Davidson requested to be excused.
Did I have a motion to excuse Eric, please?
A motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, vote 6-0 to excuse Eric Davidson. Okay, moving on again to a wonderful part of our city council meeting is to administer the oath of office, which has already been officially administered to our three new police officers. So I will come and administer your certificates. So I'm going to ask Andrew Richardson, Trevor Chow, and Zach Axtell to come up, please. Okay, I'm going to read with you the oath, and if you just repeat after or with me. I, Andrew Richardson, Trevor Chow, and Zach Taxtell do solemnly swear.
I, Zach Taxtell, do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
And laws of the State of Washington.
And laws of the State of Washington.
And all City of Blaine ordinances.
And all City of Blaine ordinances.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Faithfully and impartially.
Faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of police officer.
The duties of a police officer.
According to the law.
According to the law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I just want to say we are we have three people who are very, very involved in our Blaine community. We have Zach, who is here by London and Seattle, but he's found his way here. And we have Andrew, who came from Georgia, I believe, and found his way here, and very involved in the school with your family, which is excellent. And Trevor, you also have children in the community, and you're also very involved. Andrew, you're the EMT firefighter, aren't you? And you are the coach, is that right? So there you are, people in our community, and you'll be seeing them on the street. So welcome to our community. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. Approval of bills, $319,817.70. Approval of February 10th, 2024 city council meetings. Authorization for the city manager, authorization for the city manager to accept a conservation easement from the Hayes Development Group. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Motion.
Seconder?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass 6-0. Moving on to council action items. The first action item is an oral public comment discussion. And I just want to bring up something first before starting. We have considered all of the emails that have come in on this and all the discussion, and there are some points that I'd like to bring up. First of all, Council Member May has asked for dialogue with regular town halls in the past. And I think that this is a good idea, so this is something that we are going to propose for having regular town halls where we can have discussion and back and forth dialogue, which we have been unable to do in the present circumstance. Council members who wish to attend may do so, but a quorum is not required. It allows for verbal public comments. The meetings will be recorded and available to any person that wants to hear what was discussed, and it allows for efficient and orderly council meetings. So I propose to the councillors the following motion. I move to schedule a 30-minute town hall study session preceding the first regularly scheduled council meeting of the month that may be suspended if needed from time to time by a majority vote of the council. And I open this up for your discussion.
So this is something that would, this is something that would happen before the regularly scheduled meetings,
right.
The first,
and it will be,
like, what if, every month?
It will be limited to 30 minutes, and it can be however the council wants, whether it's a simple two-minute, three-minute back and forth between people in the audience versus any council member who wishes to discuss this, and so on. The situation with who gets to speak, who doesn't get to speak, is something that we can discuss as a council.
And then I just had a question in terms of, I guess, clarity on town halls. We can have kind of back and forth discussions, not just one way. Like public comment, for example, we're not supposed to say anything, we're just supposed to be quiet to give a public comment. But the town halls, we can actually interact.
That's correct.
Okay.
And who's the moderator? Who would be, so just go loose?
There will be no moderator. Whoever would like to speak, and whoever is deemed to be first to speak gets to speak and ask a question, and anybody on the council who wants to answer is able to answer. If several people on the council want to give a different opposing viewpoint, they can do so.
I think any meeting needs to be chaired, so it's the question of moderator. I think there has to be someone who can say whose turn it is to speak and guide the meeting in some way.
Well, then that falls under the mayor pro tem.
Then, yes, because traditionally any meeting that is before the main meeting, the mayor pro tem just by default would chair that. I want to ask staff, is the motion that the mayor has just made properly formatted? Is something that can be passed instantly, like right now tonight?
It is. So we would not be amending the council rules of procedure. This would be a scheduled town hall meeting that could happen as soon as next Monday, or excuse me, the first meeting of March. So yes.
I would recommend, well, I'm not sure whether it's legal or not, but in the event that neither the mayor or the pro tem are here, that be transferred to either Mr. Crawford or Mr. Conley.
Well, I think we would have to make sure that either the mayor pro tem or the mayor would be there.
Oh, yes. Because it includes language that it can be bumped if there's a good reason to bump it, having neither the mayor nor the...
some other emergency study that needs to be held.
I would say, Mayor, traditionally in those roles where the deputy mayor or mayor is not available, it would fall to the most senior member of council who's been there the longest.
Okay. And in the event that, say, there's an urgent need for a study session, the first meeting of the month, could it be bumped to the second meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay. And will there be public notices made of this?
Yep.
Let people know.
My opinion on this subject is fine. More communication, the better, obviously. In the end, it's going to be us deciding. I just like to be able to say that. We're the ones who are going to be making the decision. So there's a part of me that's ready to go on this. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but I feel that there needs to be a time limit for each person, because I can imagine one or two people taking the entire 30 minutes, and others would not have an opportunity.
So I have a question for staff. Would the person chairing that meeting, for example, the deputy mayor, have the discretion to be able to set whatever time limits as long as they were equally applied?
Yes, that'd be correct.
Okay. So as long as you announce it, because I glanced over the lawyer, because almost I'm used to what his answers are on this one. It's not what the rule is, it's whether it's equally applied to all persons participating.
It will be equally applied to everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have the ability, as we do in other cases, where the person who's chairing the town hall would have the option to grant more time if the situation appears to need it?
I would say not to grant more time to any one person. We're trying to do this equally to everyone.
Okay. So we just have to say, well, this will be continued at the next meeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, oh, sorry, go ahead. I'm very favorable to this. I handed you all a draft of an alternate proposal, but the mayor's proposal is sufficient enough to achieve a lot of the goals of. I don't wish to move forward with making any suggestions about the document I handed you, because I'm satisfied with the mayor's motion.
Any further discussion from anybody?
Yeah, just maybe I'm diving too far in the weeds. Let's say we have the first one. We have 30 people show up, and we only allocate 3 minutes per person. We're obviously not going to have quite a few people being able to speak. Are they next up for the next one? Is that okay?
I think that's fair.
So it'll be kind of like a sign-up sheet when they come in, kind of first come, first serve.
If we're not formally amending the council rules of procedure, which is what my suggestion would have been, that I'm no longer pushing. If it's not amending the council rules of procedure, then it's at the discretion of the person chairing the meeting. So as long as it's even-handed, as long as what you do cannot be construed as being unequal.
Yeah.
Then you or whoever's chairing the meeting can simply, as long as it's announced, here's what we're doing. We've only got 10 people on the list. We're going to hear from those 10 people. Then we're going to go into recess until the main meeting, even if there's time left over. That would be at the discretion of the person chairing the meeting.
Mr. Harmon, do you have a further comment? No.
Yep. What council member may say is correct.
Yeah.
Did you make a motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we're discussing it. Then. It was kind of a vague motion, so how do we incorporate the 3 minutes?
It's in there. Oh, no, we don't. It isn't.
That was what we were just discussing with whoever's chairing the meeting. Does it at the discretion, as long as it applies equally to all participants, then they can just say, today we're going to have this many minutes. And so if there's a big long list, you could tell everyone, okay, we've got a lot of people here, we each get 1 minute. That would be at the discretion of whoever's chairing the meeting.
Can't say, you
know,
5 for you, 3 for you.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. So I can say that I agree. I will be agreeing with this. There's a part of me that feels I'm not entirely sure. The town hall we're talking about happened already during the Revolutionary War. We've already had that town hall. There's a part of me that feels like this is almost like a rehearsal, some kind of a test. That's my feeling. And that test has already happened 250 years ago. That's my feeling.
I'm sorry, but I'm not following the train of thought there.
I think we ought to return oral public commentary as ASAP. And my feeling is that town hall, this is almost like a test to see if free speech works or public commentary works.
Well, if I understand correctly, it's merely instead of in the middle of the city council meeting where we would have said, okay, we're going to have X amount of time to have public comment, we're just moving it.
Okay.
So I don't see it as a test at all. I just see it as a rearranging.
And just for the record, my proposal to amend my theoretical proposal to amend the official rules of procedure did put the public comment before the meeting because some of the interests that led to the decision to stop public comment were to make sure to have an orderly meeting where if we have business and things and, you know, payroll to approve and these things, that we'd be able to just get through the business that we must and have the comment not be covered by that.
Understood. Thank you.
Any further comment? I have a second.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, that passes 6-0, I think. And we can move on to the next item, requesting City Council to authorize City Manager to execute construction contract for downtown revitalization project with Premium Services, Inc. Mr. Gandy, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Staff closed the bid for downtown revitalization on February 7, 2025. We did receive 5 bids from 5 contractors. After assessing all the bids based on price, everything. So Premium Services came out to be the lowest. So this motion is that we recommend Council to approve the bid for Premium Services Inc. for an amount of $3,742,760.25 for completing the downtown revitalization project.
I have a question, Mr. Harpia.
Yes, ma'am.
When I read it, you know, I've fixated on trees, and I saw that there are 49 trees in a, what, 3-4 block revitalization. Are there trees going in other than just along the sidewalks? I know there are trees going into the parklets.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay, so.
Trees that don't tear up.
Right, I get that. I'm just having trouble with vision 49 trees.
I can give you the details of the plans, right? And then we can discuss it.
I have a quick question. I was reading through. I noticed the Premium Services agrees to complete all work within 120 working days from notice to proceed. A couple questions. 120 days from now puts us at the end of June. Which is very close to the 4th of July, obviously. So what happens if they miss the deadline?
So basically, 120 days starts from the notice to proceed. So once you pass it out, we'll work on all the other stuff before it starts. So once we issue them a notice to proceed, we still have to do all the pre-construction meeting, everything with them, before we issue them a notice to proceed. So it's basically from notice to proceed, 220 days.
Okay. And then where does that put us for completion of the project itself?
So if we issue them a notice to proceed on May 1st, so that's when the clock starts.
Okay. Is there going to be any issue with the 4th of July?
Mayor, if I may.
Yeah. We'll work with our contractor to have them keep as much of our downtown area unencumbered so we can have our 4th of July celebration. It's likely the project will extend into the 4th of July. As Harpier said, 120 days, and that's if they don't have any rain delays or they run into whatever they may run into. But we've got the ability to work with our contractor up front to make sure that our downtown isn't totally destroyed and we can have the celebration reasonably so.
Yeah. And then, sorry, just one last question. I'm trying to hog this. Is there a plan on which end of Peace Portal we're starting, or is it multiple locations at the same time? Like, are we starting with North End going south, south going north?
That we will discuss with the contractor during our pre-construction meeting, and we will be doing in phases. We won't tear the whole downtown and then start working on this. It will be done in phases.
For example, the tree removal, that will happen in a phase. And they'll come in and they may take out portions of sidewalk in phases. Yeah, I would ask if council has a preference on which end they start with, certainly let us know, because to the extent the contractor is willing, we can work with them to start in specific locations or prioritize certain portions of their project.
We've been kind of busy at that end right now with building houses and stuff down there.
Sure. Madam Mayor, if I had one more. I found the item Councilmember Hurt was referring to. Part of what DOT requires is when we cut down trees within the right-of-way, within DOT right-of-way, because remember, Peace Portal belongs to DOT. They look at the diameter of those trees, and we have to replace basically end of kind what we're taking away. And so we'll be planting trees in other portions of the city on DOT and state property, other than just Peace Portal Avenue, to replace in kind what we're taking out.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you're welcome.
I have an additional question there. So, actually, a comment regarding which end they start at. I would tend to want to hear from the contractor if there's efficient reasons why they'd have to do it in a particular order, and I would tend to let them do what is going to make them be able to do the best job. But just regarding the work continuing through the 4th of July, you mentioned something that made me think that perhaps there's provisions that would be written right into it to explain that their bid must include their ability to kind of tidy it up for 2 or 3 days. And if those provisions aren't in there, I would hope you would put in something, some kind of clause where if they're still working and it's 2 or 3 days from 4th of July, that they would have to, you know, tarp things over or remove some of their big, equipment or something for that period of day, so that we can have the 4th of July, because that's something that bid might want to factor in. If they're going to have to do something like that, it's gonna cost them some provisions. So.
Any further questions, Mr. Gandhi? I get a motion to
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Okay. Any further discussion? So staff respectfully request City Council to accept the proposal from Premium Services to authorize a city manager to execute the construction contract in the amount of $3,742,760.27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? That's passed 6-0. Okay, going on to the next one also, Mr. Gandhi, please. Lane Downtown Revitalization Project Construction Management Task Order, Cascade Engineering Group, PS, Inc. Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this task order is for the construction management of the downtown project during the construction phase. So there are a few items that would be required, like engineering support, bridge support, engineering evaluation of the construction issues, any change order that needs to be done, weekly inspection summary reports, and all those preparing the record drawings, providing any answer to the clarification of the electrical and landscaper designer. So there are a few items that will be covered under this task order, and we recommend to approve the Cascade Engineering for an amount of not to exceed $124,140.
Are there any questions for Mr. Gandhi on this, please? Could I have a motion then to approve the City Council accept Cascade Engineering's proposal and authorize City Manager to execute the task order for a price not to exceed $124,140?
A motion.
Second. A second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any abstaining? It's vote 6-0. Okay, moving on then to Mr. Kennedy, this is your name. Interconnection agreement between City of Lane and Puget Sound Energy, Inc. Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is an interconnection agreement between PSE and City of Blaine. So it works as like BPA provided as the power, but they use the grid for PSE. So the grid that's in Blaine and Semiahmoo. They have an interconnection agreement. So basically, PSE is the only firm actually here that could provide us a connection for supplying the BPA power and distributing to the City of Blaine.
Okay, any further comments? Could I have a motion then to accept the interconnection agreement between the City of Blaine and Puget Sound Energy and authorize City Manager to execute the agreement?
So moved.
Seconder?
I'll second. I like our workers.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's passed 6-0. Okay, and again, Mr. Gandhi. Memorandum of Agreement between City of Blaine and Birch Bay Water Sewer District.
Madam Mayor, we did have some legal comments this afternoon, and so staff recommend postponing this one till further notice. So we'll bring it back to the council in coming days.
Okay. That's okay, Mr. Harmon?
Mayor, we'd look for a motion to postpone from the council.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I move that we postpone that issue.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. It is. Okay, we're moving on to commission committee and board reports, planning commission meeting, Mr. Wenger.
Yes, good evening, Council. The Planning Commission met last Thursday on February 20th, and we introduced a new zoning district called the Urban Mixed Use, which would replace the planned commercial zoning district located behind IGA Shopping Center there, where a project has been approved called Lincoln Mews. You'll see a new kind of road that's been built over there. And the other portion of the planned commercial zone is down by Steamers and Pacific Building Center. And in addition to that, the commission talked briefly about industrial land supply and housing in general. And at the next meeting on March 13th, we hope to introduce zoning updates to the residential office district and potentially hold a public hearing on that new urban mixed use zone. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, on to department reports. City Manager, Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Staff have scored the proposals for the Senior Center RFP that went out and consistently found that the proposal from the Birch Bay Park and Rec District scored higher. We're going to be working with the district on a contract unless directed otherwise by council. All the scores were very consistent, and that's how we plan to move forward, again, unless directed otherwise by council. Second item tonight is that we were unable to have our strategic planning session on Friday, and so we plan to work with council schedules and bring back topics individually preceding the meeting and study sessions, perhaps starting as early as 4 o'clock so we get time to really dive into one specific topic. Michelle will reach out and coordinate schedules with you. That's all I've got for tonight, Mayor.
Mr. Harper, have you discussed this with the board at the Senior Center?
I've made the director aware that the Senior Center, that their proposal was not as competitive as the one received from the Birch Bay Park and Rec District. I've also spoke with the director of the Birch Bay Park and Rec District and let him know that we'd likely be discussing a contract with them.
Okay. Would they be involved in those discussions at all?
Madam Mayor. They being?
The board, or the president of the board of the Senior Center.
Madam Mayor, if I understand the question, so the similar to having this Senior Center not involved with us discussing a contract with Cascade Engineering, right, for professional services, that we have to remember the Senior Center is a not-for-profit organization that provides senior services at our facility. We went out and asked for professional proposals on the provider of those services. Staff have found that, similar to other proposals, the more competitive in this case was the district. And so we would not bring an outside party in to negotiate contract with another party. That it just wouldn't be the case. Now, Madam Mayor,
yes.
I would also like to add, in my email to the director, if council approves a contract, so maybe you can direct us to negotiate with the senior center. Staff are simply recommending to you that we believe the more competitive proposal was the district. And so our plan is to bring you back a contract with them as the service provider. That doesn't mean you have to accept it. Now, that said, if you do accept it, this scenario happens in a variety of other places in Whatcom County where park districts provide senior services at municipal facilities. I do think if you accept the proposal with the district, there's a way for the senior center as an organization to work collaboratively with the district and advise the district or continue to be a part of how they provide those services. And I've let both the district and the senior center director know that that's my vision for it.
I have a question here. Could the council, you know, make a stipulation that if they wanted to, that if, you know, the people who are the members of the senior center who have had their own board wanted to have some sort of an advisory committee or whatever, is that something the council could say that if they wanted to continue having an advisory committee that that would report and make suggestions to the Park and Rec district, then that could be a process that we would ask to be implemented. Is that a possibility for council to do if we so wish?
Madam Mayor, that's exactly the role I see for the senior center as an organization. Now, where we would run into potential trouble is the senior center may say, we don't want to do that.
Sure.
Now, assuming we have a willing party, absolutely we could fold that into a contract with the district.
So would that require an action of council, or is just a verbal direction like this sufficient?
Well, I would, to do something like that, I'd like the whole council to speak, or a majority of the council to speak. You could either do so now and direct staff to bring back a contract with Birch Bay that includes a provision as such. We could amend the contract at the time it comes back to you. It's really whatever your prerogative.
Yeah, because what I'm suggesting, fellow council members, it's not something that would bind the Parks District to have to do what the advisory, and you know, it's just advisory, but that would and would require there to be an advisory committee if nobody wanted to do it. But just the avenue there for if the members of the senior center wanted to have meetings, talk about what was on their mind, and then express that to the Park and Recs District, I think that would be a provision that would be appropriate to include in this final form. I don't know how y'all feel about that.
Well, I feel that from prior discussions that we had, that Mr. Harmon led me to believe that we could put wording into the contract that said that the Board of Senior Center Inc. could act as a body that would make recommendations to them, and that they would be working together, like I said, cooperatively. The Senior Center Inc. group has various committees, and they can do whatever they want. They're an independent organization, and I'm sure it'll develop along the line what they feel is appropriate. And I hope that I'll be meeting with them at their next meeting, and I can work with them, see if they have any concerns that I can bring forward.
So, does any other council member want to weigh in so the staff has an idea where you're at on that issue?
Mayor, I'm not seeing opposition to it, so what we'll do is I'll work with Peter to bring a provision back. It's easier to strike it if you don't want it than to make it up on the fly. So I'll bring a provision back that has something like that embedded in it.
We can look at it.
Yeah.
I'd just like to add that when I was meeting with Mr. Harmon, he brought forward some information from the proposal from Parks and Rec. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that they had such a large participation from our senior community, and that they had people on staff who were extremely knowledgeable about working with more mature people, because that was one of my major concerns, is that we might get a new director that lacked the necessary skills to be successful. So I feel much more confident about it now.
Okay. Great. So moving on, Mr. Dandy, you're up again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a departmental update is like Circuit 17 is back to construction again. We have some section of Circuit 17 that was not completed. So DJ Electrical is back on site now, and they've started working. So they wanted to complete the whole project before we start moving on to the west section of the Bobbitt construction. So that's the problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I had a question for Public Works, actually. My understanding is that there was the earthquake we recently had had no negative impacts to our functioning systems?
No, not that much.
Okay, Community Development Services, Mr. Linger.
Yes, Council. Just a quick update. Comprehensive plan updates remain a hot topic. We are still waiting from growth figures from Whatcom County. There's been two presentations to Whatcom County Planning Commission and two presentations to Whatcom County City Council. And Whatcom County City Council meets again tomorrow, February 25th at 1 o'clock, to talk about growth allocations and projections. So we'll see what they decide. And then the Whatcom County Planning Commission also meets this week, February 27th, this Thursday, I believe, at 6 p.m. And they'll be discussing county-wide planning policies. And this is noteworthy because these are two, essentially once-in-a-decade county-wide planning exercises or events. So this is a kind of a lot going on in the planning world. There has been an impact on community development services. It's almost like having two city councils and two planning commissions to report to. But we're keeping up the thing. So I just wanted to update the council on those opportunities to participate in those two processes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, on to finance department, Ms. Heidel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So tonight we wanted to discuss the treasurer's report for the year ended December 31st, 2024. You'll see that we have a monthly fund cash reserve report that's been submitted, and the funds have been organized to group into like categories. So you've got general, and then that separates our capital operations, capital, and restricted, and then streets, because there are a lot of different funds that fund street projects in one way or another, debt service, specific, more like general capital project funds, so REIT 1 and REIT 2, electric, water, wastewater, stormwater, and then internal service and fiduciary and permanent funds after that. On the report, you'll see that it's going to show the prior month's cash balance, and then the current month's ending cash balance, and then the available cash. And the available cash is what's available after the reserve requirement, or in the case of our wastewater fund, we have money that we've received in advance that's for a specific project. And so that is included in that capital balance, but then taken back out in the available cash balance. So just to kind of go over that in big picture. We finished 2024 in our general fund, 5.41% better than budget in our revenues, and our expenditures were only 97.56% of budget. So I think that that's great. As far as our utility funds, we finished lower at 87% of our revenue projections in electric, but we only spent 77% of the electric utility expenditures, and that's just without capital, so on the operating side of it. For the water fund, we finished 9% better than budget overall for 2024 in our revenue, and 6.47% higher in expenditures, but still higher in the revenues. For our wastewater fund, we were at 6.43% above revenues for wastewater, and only at 85% for expenditures in the operations side of things. And then for stormwater, we finished 4.31% on the operations side better than budget for revenues, and at 91% for expenditures. And then moving into January, We should be about one twelfth of the way through the year at the end of January. So 8.3% would be the target number there. And our revenues in the general fund are down about 0.5%, but the expenditures are down 1.9%. So correlates there. I think in our electric funds, we're tracking the budget. In water, we're tracking the budget. In wastewater and stormwater, revenues are down, but so are expenditures. And that is all I have for the January financials.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the finance director? Mr. Harmon.
Mayor, I want to add one update for council. The mayor and I have sat in on some meetings with Border Patrol recently, and what we're seeing is border traffic down somewhere between 20 and 40% right now with what's happening. So we've got an eye on sales tax receipts, fuel tax receipts. We've got an eye on all that, and we're watching it closely as we move through what is, you know, uncertain times right now. But traffic is down at the border, which will impact Blaine.
Thank you. I'd like to add to that. I know personally from 24/7 parcel in town, our sales have dropped dramatically due to the Trump actions. So all of our employees are being cut back on hours. Hopefully, I expect to see that in all of our businesses, since we all know that we're heavily patronized by Canadians.
If we're adding an anecdotal there, a friend of mine who lives in Bellingham has a conveyor belt company, a very large conveyor belt company, and he lost a contract with Canada due to the tariffs or concerns about the possibility of tariffs. So there is a lot of people trying to buy local on both sides right now, and I'm not surprised at all to hear that traffic at the border is down.
Again. We need to focus on our town and making sure that we are welcoming to people coming across the border and planning our events to make them interesting, to attract people like Wings Over Water should bring some people from Canada down. And let's just hope that sanity prevails.
This is a good time to clean our town. People are low down and they need to clean up. So good time to be better than what's good. The same group was packed around here, and we were trying to do this. We can look at it two ways. Let's freaking take this thing on head on. Whatever they do, we just do better. And, okay, we win, we lose, we do the best we can. So.
Okay, moving on to calendars, just have a look at that. There is council unfinished business, any unfinished business? And then Council of New Business, Mr.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, so I'm going to be making two proposals for motions. One, I'll just say what it is, for the City of Blaine to adopt a code of ethics policy in the same format as that is currently being used in Ferndale. And I'm mindful of the fact that, you know, adding any extra, I guess you could say, work associated with adding policy, extra written policy, is going to require extra staff. I'm mindful, so I'm recommending, I'm suggesting that the Ferndale policy, and you can look it up by simply Googling it, Ferndale Ethics, Code of Ethics, and it will pop up the first thing. I'm recommending that we get to the point where we can discuss having something like that.
Okay.
So is that a motion?
Yes.
Well, we can't make motion on that. Sorry, Janine.
I'd like it on the agenda, just to be able to discuss.
I'd like on the agenda to consider taking the same format as the City of Ferndale, adjusting if necessary to match Blaine to reduce the maximum, to use the minimum amount of staff time and potentially adopt such a thing.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
So if you made that motion, I second the motion.
And I would be the third council member to say, please let's put that on the agenda with respect.
Jeremy?
We'll put it on.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. A second is to have the City of Blaine adopt the 2024 Stormwater Manual from the 2019 manual. My understanding is that it should have been adopted in August of 2024. It wasn't. And so now I recommend.
I have a question for staff. Is there a 2024 version of the thing that we currently are relying on the 2019 version of?
Madam Mayor, there may be a version. I haven't read it. Wouldn't be prepared to even give you a recommendation tonight on how that could potentially impact development or Blaine.
Okay. So again, I'm recommending it. I hope we can get that to the discussion phase, and then of course, after discussing it, we would be able to make decisions.
So you'd like an agenda item where we find out whether or not there is. So do I understand from staff we're currently using the 2019 standards?
Thank you, Madam. So basically, 2024 has been issued, but state has a mandate right now. We are not in the phase one or phase two, right, of the stormwater manual. So basically, we can use 2019 for now, right, till we are mandated to use the 2024.
Okay, so what you're suggesting we do is we hear back whether or not there's what the pros and cons would be of trying to adopt the 2024 version? And potentially staff could tell us there's reasons not to change anything. I'm getting the impression already you're saying there's reasons not to? Because it would be expensive or disruptive or something?
Yes, John.
Mayor, what we're saying is we're not prepared to give a recommendation tonight. There may or may not be reasons to adopt. There may or may not be reasons to postpone adoption. But tonight, we're just not prepared to give you a recommendation.
Would council like to hear what the city manager could have to say if you were prepared to say something about this?
Yes.
So, I'm confused at this point. Aren't we under state guidelines? Don't we have to adhere to whatever current state guidelines are for handling stormwater? Or is it by county, or how does it work?
Sorry, ma'am. Yes, we are mandated to use the manual, right? But we haven't been told, mandated right now, that we use the 2024.
So therefore, what I would say is, regardless of whether it's mandated,
yes,
to make it 2024, that would be the motion that I would make, and that would be to put that on the agenda to discuss and clarify.
Right. The information that by myself I'd like to know, because you know the planning director says we're not mandated to use anything past 2019 yet. So the piece of information I want that the city manager is not yet prepared for, because he's not been noticed ahead of time that this would be an issue, is how disruptive or costly that would be to us to update before the state makes us do it. And that's a piece of information I think council would need to know whether to say, hey, start using the 2024 one, or, oh no, wait till we mandate it because there's good reasons not to yet. And so that's a question I would come
correct
answer for the council.
Correct, and therefore should be put on the agenda.
Any further comments, Mr. Chairman?
No further comments, ma'am.
Okay,
so we need a second to that to determine whether or not it goes on the agenda.
Or as staff just said, they're going to. Are you going to put it on the agenda without us making you do it, or do we need three council members?
We would need three council members, Mayor.
I would like a slightly more complex answer than the city manager was able to give today. I would love that to be on the agenda, at least to get the information back from the city manager.
Yes.
So I think that's three council members.
Okay, I would also. But I would like Mr. Herman to come forward and Mr. Gonde to provide us with the details of pros and cons.
I hope you can do this without taking an extreme amount of your staff time, but just to have at least a bit more of an answer as to whether or not that would be disruptive or costly.
So it's my understanding that this is also on the agenda.
Yes, both of the things you suggested have gotten enough support to be on the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, there is written public comment.
Actually, we were in new business and dialogue.
Yep.
Yes, I wanted to take one moment for a piece of dialogue. I want to just make a statement at this point. Is this it? Yeah. Okay. So I was handed something with 21 questions on it, but being that the mayor has put forward that we're going to have town halls, there will be some time to answer some of these questions, but I would like to answer the one of these 21 questions, which is, why did we need to discuss free speech when the Constitution is clear? My understanding is that the U.S. Constitution talks about limitations of government, that the federal government cannot tell you that you cannot express a particular thought. For example, whether or not the Beatles are a good band, or whether or not McDonald's French fries are better than Burger King French fries, or whatever issue you want. The federal government cannot limit what opinion you wish to express. That does not necessarily mean that someone has the right to come into... I can't go into somebody's home and express my opinion to them unless I'm welcome in their home or in someone's meeting. So when we're having a meeting, it's up to the discretion of people who have some stuff to get done at a meeting, what level of discourse they want to have at their own meeting. That doesn't prevent you from being outside and saying what your opinion is, or saying nobody can say this thing or that thing. That's what freedom of speech regarding the U.S. Constitution is. And again, free speech does not mean you can yell fire in a crowded theater. So there are limitations to free speech, such as the time and the place, and whether it's harmful or illegal, such as libelous speech. So that's my answer to question 21 that was handed to me on this piece of paper. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, we will adjourn the meeting at 6:59.